day before Avocado Day.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
I love that. Yeah. If I wasn't working long hours doing tax returns, I might really like it.
Oh, you got to cut out by 5 o'clock on Cinco de Mayo. You got to 5 at 5.
Yeah.
If not, I will be sure that there'll be an avocado on your window. Your choice.
Fair enough.
Oh, are you ready for your insightful query here?
I'll give it a shot.
All right. We did that one. Okay. Yesterday, Chief Watson beat me into the room and he read it.
Really?
Before.
Oh, wow.
Still didn't get it quite smooth.
Really?
But, yeah, I was like, okay, man, you just read it. You cheat. Okay, you read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. All right.
And memorize that book. We've all got
memorize?
It. Memorize? Yeah.
No.
All your guests have that memorized at home.
When someone wants to caution you not to believe something too quickly, why does he or she say, take it with a grain of salt?
Well, a grain of salt helps keep water from boiling, potentially, or overboiling. How's that? That's the best I got.
You're kind of almost close. Shot in the dark?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was all I got.
Salt has long been believed to possess great purifying powers, and Pompeii is said to have made it a practice to add a grain of salt to any drink suspected of containing poison.
Ah.
From this may have come the idea that one should accept certain suspicious offerings with a grain of salt. That is, with a measure of caution.
Ah, okay.
See, kind of apropos.
Yeah, well, I got the salt part right. It's a good thing it was in the question.
And the, has something to do with cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Oops.
Yeah, or things out in the horse, in the cow field.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, geez.
Watch your step.
Yeah. So how's the number crunching going?
Brutal year. This is the hardest tax season ever.
Hardest longest or hardest because information
because
is unknown?
Been because of the challenges that have been presented with COVID presents challenges. Those have been pretty manageable. But the fact that we had tax law changes in the middle of the season that were retroactive. The fact that California didn't solve how to deal with PPP loans until last week.
Last week?
Yeah, they finally dealt with it last week. There just has been...
Wow.
It's just been... So, we've had business returns stacked up like cordwood because we can't get the work out. I was finishing projects yesterday that's normally done the end of January in the middle of February. And so that's all, anyway, it's been,
backlog.
And not only that, a lot of those are pass-through entities, so you can't do, if it's an S corporation, you can't do the S corporation shareholder until you know how to, what the numbers are going to be. So the point is, it's just been, it's been a bugger of a year. It's really not been, it's been really challenging.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just all that uncertainty. We dealt with unemployment insurance and whether or not that was going to be, to what extent was unemployment insurance or unemployment benefits going to be taxable. And again, that changed in the middle of March. Well, and we already filed a bunch of returns. So anyway, we're still looking at May 15th or May 17th is a day we may have to get some other things done. I've got a couple of returns that aren't done. I'm going to try to get them to married filing separate. That takes time. Because, anyway, it's just been a really, really hard season. And, the additional month that the IRS granted, that was botched from the standpoint that when they did that, they didn't extend the April 15th due date for the first quarter estimate, which is generally based on the tax from the prior year, which you're saying we don't have to have done until May 17th.
So that wasn't even allowed or accounted for?
We had to guess for people. Because we didn't all have the numbers for everybody. Or we had to go and spend time on returns that we would, if the May 17th date would have been, we could have waited and done it in a much more orderly fashion. But instead, we were jumbling workaround trying to deal. You know, it was such a triage this year. It was not as rational and as it didn't have the normal flow that one would that we're accustomed to. And I think the problem I see is that now that the service, now that Congress has said, hey, we can change the law in the middle of a tax season, that I'm afraid
precedent set.
Yeah, I'm afraid that horse might be out of the barn, and we may that may be become the norm where things get changed after, you know, and that's really a problem. It's been a problem for the IRS, and I don't feel too sorry for them, but it's been a problem for the IRS. It's been a problem for taxpayers, and a lot of that challenge has landed in the preparer community, where we've had to find a way to navigate a bunch of new things. So most everybody I talk to, fellow preparers and colleagues and whatnot, are been kind of worn down by this one.
Over
more,
it?
More than normal. I mean, yeah. If you think, you know, when I was working 85 to 90 hours a week, and I'm not getting as much done as I did the year before, it's a little defeating feeling.
So are they fine-tuning so that you're able to get a majority of the return done, or are you just waiting until there's certainty and then a bum's rush?
A little of both, Brian. I mean, some of them we've got enough information where we feel like we can move on now, but that's now in May, even though the estimated taxes payment that were due based on whatever those numbers were was due back behind us. So it's just been awkward and frustrating.
It'll be interesting to see if the feds decide to waive any potential fines due to their change in changing rules.
We'll see.
Yes, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the comatose Bill McCauley.
Semi?
Okay.
Semi.
Yeah, that must mean you had a little bit of coffee this morning, huh?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I'm already two. I'm already a couple cups into the morning.
So. Oh, okay.
I got to work at a little before 5:30, so I've been going.
Oh, you slacker.
Yeah, I know. I normally get up like at 4 o'clock to go to work in tax season, but now it's kind of like.
This is probably not the show you want to use on your website for recruiting potential partners.
No. No. But this too shall pass. I mean, it's easy to get. You know, I mean, it'll be different next year. And, you know, some things will be better and probably some things will be worse. I mean, that's just the way life is.
So, well, when you're putting out the fire, not worried about the garden.
You know, it's important in life to remember there are certain things you can do things about and there are certain things you can't. And dwelling on the things you can't do much about is probably not going to – well, I mean, it's just going to put you in a bad spot.
Get you looking like you and me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when we were young, Brian.
Yeah, oh, good. At least you can. I can't. Oh, jeez. So the neighborhood appears like, your neighborhood, not mine, appears like it's going to be impacted here a little bit by some of the activities that the city of Eureka is doing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't normally veer into this kind of an arena, but in the past we've talked some of the challenges you've had with the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting that so that, you know, the broken sidewalk pieces are taken care of and some of the riffraff that you've run into in the last little bit. But it seems like ramped up a little bit. with this most recent rendition.
Yeah, we got notice last Wednesday from the city that that they're going to put a high-density, low-income housing project on the 4th and G parking lot, which is across from our office. It's across from Redwood Capital Bank, across from the Arkley Theater.
And Lost Coast.
Yeah, across from Lost Coast. Yeah. I mean, so that we were kind of shocked because we had no idea that that was in the offing. And so I made contact with some of our neighbors, some neighboring businesses, and to determine if they were aware of this, because we didn't even know that it was being considered. And yet this notice says we will. It's not we're thinking about it, we're planning it. This is we will. The only time we ever got notice that we have record of from the city that they were considering using parking lots in the downtown area for low-income housing, we got a notice for the western side of 3rd and G, which is behind what I would call Mazzotti's, or the old, behind Humboldt Republic T-shirt shop on the corner.
Right. The old police station, historically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had received notice several years ago that the city was considering that particular property. We didn't think it was the greatest use of the property, but we thought, well, that it's kind of an isolated instance, and so we didn't follow up on that any more than going, okay, well, we were aware that property was being considered, but we got this notice saying, hey, there's a meeting, and what we found out is, as of when we'd received the notice, and I don't know if that's still the case, but the preponderance of people we talked to hadn't gotten any notice from the city. So there were some businesses that got notices of the parking lots that adjoin Seagrill, but didn't get notice. Their business.
It's funny you say that, and I'm thinking the old historicals, right? Yeah. Jim Howard's parking lot.
Right.
Yeah, for former city councilman
Jim Howard.
Yeah,
so that it's the parking that it's kind of an L-shaped parking lot that goes around.
The police have got an annex.
There's
there,
a little
right?
There's a little yes. There's a yeah. little kiosk type small annex for Eureka PD on that property, and that of course is right beside the visitor center. And the plan. And so last night the city had a Zoom meeting about that particular site, and then Wednesday night there's a Zoom meeting about 4th and G. They're also going to put, if you look at what the city approved in 2018, which I was unaware of, I'd kind of be interested to know if anybody did know about this other than our elected officials. But I've yet to talk to anybody who really was aware that this was going on. They also have already approved, which I was aware of, the 6th and M Street parking lot, which was behind our old building.
Yes.
And I think that has a 40-some units going on there. And then they approved 8th and G, which is up near Eureka Inn. That has a higher density. And then they've approved one at Sunny and Myrtle, which is...
across from Alder Bay.
Yes. It's right what I think of as beside the ice cream parlor, but it's now Tea Garden.
Moo to you. Yeah.
Moo to you. Let's date ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's... So those, at least somebody will.
Those three are approved. Those properties have been... They've got agreements, I think. If they're not in place, they will be shortly with a Southern California developer to do that. Low-income housing development. I think they'll sell tax credits to make these things happen. The city gives up the property for a 55-year lease. I don't know what happens at the end of the 55-year lease. Probably you haven't. I mean, if history is to be observed, you probably end up with a downtrodden property 55 years from now. But that's, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's down the road.
Those are questions. Those are questions.
So we'll talk a little bit about this in greater detail when we come back. KINS. News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, But the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, Baywood Golf and Country Club, Randall Sand and Gravel, and Humboldt Bay Bistro. Bill, the concept of these parking lot conversions, and I guess that's probably the easiest way for my simple mind to wrap around it. The other has too many syllables. I get lost. There's always EIR reports and studies and blah, 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 blah when they're putting in a parking lot. What's it going to do to traffic? What's it going to do here, there, and the other? Have you seen anything that indicates what is going to happen? I mean, it's, we had a little back and forth yesterday, but the displacement, you know, if these projects go through, people are still going to be driving their rigs. I mean, you know, I can remember Gene Rhodes when the Transit Authority, and Gene was an ace in that arena in transportation, said if you get within a third of covering your cost, you're king of the hill. Hmm. Okay. You know, nobody is going to be taking public transit because of lack of parking. We're just going to scream a little bit louder that how bad parking is.
Well, and parking is going to be a nightmare because the county is going to build the rest of their next jail expansion on that gravel parking lot. So that's the plan. So, but they don't really have a place for that parking to go. The city now is saying, well, we're going to cover up the parking that's in kind of optimally located, and we're going to allow low-income housing developments to go on top of these parking lots. And then we're going to
– And they have their cars, too.
The developer – correct, and we'll talk about that. The developer then will be obligated to replace the parking within 300 feet or no, 300, maybe 300 yards. Anyway, within a three-block radius. And so that three-block radius is interesting because if you go anywhere, you know, towards the courthouse, then there it's not going to be available.
It's not there.
It's not going to be available. And, anyway, city manager indicated he was aware of some people who wanted to sell their properties. I don't question that.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, but yeah. Why not buy those and then do the development on that? Instead, they say, no, we have to do it this way. We have to take parking lots that have been built thoughtfully by the city to accommodate customers and businesses that potentially, you know, to some cities, it might be an attractive thing to have a business core. Questionable in Eureka what they really want, because I'm already speaking to businesses who are questioning whether, if this goes through, whether they'll be able to function in downtown Eureka based on the changes that are coming, because the actual parking that gets provided by the developer is nominal. So what they'll do is they might have a 30-unit low-income housing development go in, and the developer will basically be required to provide 9 parking spaces. Well, if you talk to the housing authority, they'll tell you that with the housing authority I think you're going to find, and somebody should have this conversation, I think you're going to find there's more than one car per low-income housing unit in many cases. And you're going to provide one-third of the number of units.
So it'll be a push-out.
It's going to be a huge issue. Ignoring the fact that the construction is going to kill the parking in the on-street parking when these projects go to construction. So you're going to have a window where there's not going to be anywhere to park because there's going to be cones everywhere and work trucks parked around all these areas. So last night the city indicated that 4th and G and 3rd and E are going to be pushed back a year in terms of – so they're taking those two off, and they're putting the two adjacent parking lots to City Hall into the program. So what's going to happen is the City Hall's two parking lots.
One on Fifth, as well as the one on Sixth?
As well as the one on Sixth and L. Those are going to be replacing those, the Fourth and G and the Third and E parking lots in the program, and then they'll bring it back next year, which means it doesn't say they're going to reconsider it. It just says we're going to bring it. We're going to take a year.
Shuffling the order.
Yeah, to me it kind of feels like we're going to take the ones that are going to create the most problem, and we'll do them last. And maybe the hue and cry will go down. I hope it doesn't. I think all of us should be asking questions of our elected officials
and
city staff about what is the thinking. I understand the need for housing. I understand the need for low-income housing. I'm not opposed to it. I don't think anybody is. It's just, what is the logic of putting low-income housing inside the median of Highway 101? I mean, what are these people not going to have children? I mean, I remember my wife talking to me when the library was in the courthouse, and she would drive around and around and around, and she would be praying to get a parking spot so she could get her two little boys out of the car and safely into the courthouse. So you're now going to provide 9 parking spots for a 30-unit development, and these people, some of these folks are going to have kids, obviously, and they're going to have to get their kids out in traffic. And not only that, crossing it, there's, you know, where do you shop? There's no built-in shopping for groceries and whatnot. You're going to have...
It's not designed as a neighborhood.
It's not designed as a walkable, we're going to deal all of it. And I understand maybe the theory is if you build it, it'll come. But I think what you're going to end up with is more empty storefronts in downtown Eureka.
Yeah, build it and they will leave.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. These parking lot projects or housing projects, whatever you want your reference to be, do you think the city's being caught unawares that people are paying attention to it?
No.
Was that the sense you had from last night, or is there just the process is the process? Thank you very much.
I want to be charitable in terms of I don't really want to assume, but you know this assume negative.
Well,
things.
What sense did
the
you
cynic
have?
In me is that they knew this was coming and they were, they knew that it was going to be a problem, but that I think they've worked with Link to develop a process to get these things through, and to me it feels like I wonder if these requests for proposals are targeted to Link. Because that's the person who's going to do all this stuff. There's not going to be another proposal. It's going to just be Link. We're going to go in, we're going to do a request for proposal, and Link's going to get it. And that's just the cynic in me that says that. I kind of feel like it's a fait accompli. I wonder if we're raising questions is just an inconvenience for the city at this point. My dad has an expression called, and he'll say, that's double dumb. And I think we're kind of doubling down on a bad decision here. And I'd like to see other options explored, even if it means we don't meet the 2027 deadline. But if we've got a plan that's a better plan, maybe we can consider, the city's put other properties into
surplus.
into negotiations for and given exclusive rights to negotiate to people since they passed this. Why weren't these properties considered for purposes of this? It seems to me Jacobs Junior High would be an optimal place to do something like this. I can't believe the city can't work with Eureka City Schools to come up with a viable opportunity to do that. That'd be a great – you could have a great playground area for kids, and it could be much safer having the whole thing contained.
A facility.
A facility for it. And so I just feel like
– Well, and right next to a school also for the kids to be able to go to school without
right. – And Central's a great road going in and out of there. It would be, it's built to accommodate the juniors.
It would seem like it would be a logical location for it, rather than spread all over.
Rather than spread throughout town and particularly throughout your business district.
Well, and the safety issue that you brought up also, when the county was looking to locate the library, there was discussions what side of 4th and 5th Street because of safety concerns.
Right.
Nobody had the thought of in the middle of.
No.
So you get double exposure going both ways. I mean,
And
it seems ill-conceived, some of the locations.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't really have a disagreement with every location the city's identified, but I have a disagreement with those in the downtown and Old Town area because I think we got enough challenges down there as it is. We would have to, if this goes through, we're going to have to evaluate if we, what that does to our ability to work, to be able to function there, because whatever parking is going to be left, theoretically, they say, there's going to be more parking to replace it within three blocks is a long way, especially when you're showing up at 4 a.m. to go to work or 5 a.m. or you're leaving at 8 o'clock at night in February.
Or we have the rain.
You think about restaurant employees who they're going to park 3 blocks away and they get off on a shift at midnight or 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock even and have to, our downtown, believe me, it's sketchy. I park 4th and G and walk across the street every morning. And, during tax season, that's at 4:30 or 4:45 in the morning. It's sketchy. There's people sleeping in doorways. There's people wandering and meandering about. It doesn't feel great. And yet we're gonna create more exposure for people to be in danger. And, that being said, it's frustrating for us because we feel like we just didn't know this was coming. And I'm interested to know who did know, because I don't feel like that is a very big subset of the population of Eureka.
And there's another Zoom meeting. I don't know. Are there capacities, maximums on Zoom meetings?
There are. It depends on what they've subscribed for. There'll be a Zoom meeting for 4th and G on Wednesday night. On Thursday night.
And Wednesday's, it's the one next to the Lloyd Building.
Okay, 4th and, okay, so 5th and.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fifth
D.
And, fifth and D.
D is in there somewhere.
Fifth
yeah.
and D.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It just kind of feels like there's a sense of being taken for a ride.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to come together, because they have all these visioning meetings typically. Is this a visioning that we missed, or is this a visioning that they have?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we weren't very well noticed.
Well, it will be interesting. We've got Billy Hansel will be on Thursday, so we can talk about the parking and what he sees with some of the challenges with that structure going up, which I think everybody is in agreement with. That's a positive thing, and everybody's aware of it, and it's been noticed. And then on Friday, City Manager Miles will be here, so we'll see how this whole week goes, huh?
Yeah, quite a week.
Alrighty. All right. Keep slugging it out.
We'll do.
Make sure you don't run out of your erasers.
There you go.
Oh, the old days.
Pencil, not pen.
See everybody tomorrow.